what a day that'll be when we see Jesus face to face. But not only that, as the host of heaven enters in, after the final judgment, heaven will grow silent. The angels will cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," and a new song will rise up. It'll be the song of the redeemed. It'll be our song. Amen. The redeemed of the Lamb will say so in that day. Hallelujah. Continue to pray for me. Like I said, I don't know if I've got some symptoms of the stomach virus or what, but I'm feeling some kind of way. So if I'm not jumping around today, please don't hold it against me. I'm just going to minister the word. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 1. I've titled this message, Jesus, the Passover Lamb. It's a very exciting time of year. I've already shared that this morning before worship. But it's exciting because we get to participate this time of year in reading the Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament, to really understand the work of God in our salvation. Amen? Aren't you glad to know that we just don't have to take it in face value, that God, by His Spirit, gave us His Word? And through His Word, we can know Him by His Word because of His Spirit. And so we don't have to sit here without a response. Or if someone ever asks us, why do you believe on Jesus? We don't just have to say, well, you're just going to have to take my word for it. You can say, no, you can take His word for it. This is what it says. And this is why I believe. Since I first believed, I began to read these scriptures. And everything that I began to feel and hear in this new heart, I began to understand here because of what His Word said. It just made so much sense when I was able to read the Word. I want to encourage us this morning to know that this is Palm Sunday. This is signifying the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey's colt. And this is where all of the people laid down palm branches before Him, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." They saw Him and understood in a moment, based off the miracles and the signs that were taking place, and believed that He was the Messiah. How many of you know that this had to take place? Amen? Because the way that God had set up the redemption of sin was that a lamb must be sacrificed without blemish for the forgiveness of our sins. And what a joy it is this morning to preach to you that precious lamb today. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. This is Old Testament. This is the institution of the Passover. This is when the Israelites are in Egyptian bondage. And they've called out unto the Lord. The plagues have come from the Lord to stir Pharaoh to let God's people go. And we're here now at the final plague. And these are the instructions that God gives to Moses and to Aaron. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." In the Gospels, as Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, the crowds shouted, "Hosanna." This Hosanna was the cry of both praise and a plea for salvation, expressing the people's hope that Jesus was the promised Messiah who would save them. The shout also acknowledged Jesus as the King of Israel. Now, I want you to understand from this moment forward, the purpose and the plan of God is to bring forth Jesus out of the lineage of the Israeli people, the Jewish people, and to sacrifice him so that all of the sins, not just of the Jewish people, but of the world, can be saved. Amen? So that we might be redeemed unto the Father. I want to read John chapter 12 and just give you a parallel of Old Testament, what the Passover was, and the New Testament of what the Passover is for us. Amen? Some of you are with me. John chapter 12. Amen. Some of y'all have the stomach bug as well. John chapter 12, verse 12. This is right after Mary anoints Jesus with the precious ointment. And everyone got super mad at Mary. And Jesus said, "Don't talk about her like that. Don't say anything to her. She's anointing me for my burial." And if you want to really hear about that, come to Sunrise Service next Sunday. Amen. I'm going to talk about that. But today we're not going to talk about that. John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, when they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him, the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.' Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' And the crowd stood there and heard it, said that it had thundered. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' And Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said, this is to show by what kind of death he is going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light between, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed that he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, for again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their hearts and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent him. I have come into the world as light. You remember back when they said, who is this son that is going to deliver us? And he said, the light has come into the world. Verse 46, he's saying, it's me. I'm the one. I'm the son that's come in here. Amen? Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the authority who sent me has himself given me a commandment. That to say what to say and what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Now, Jesus is expressing this to a very Jewish crowd. He's giving them understanding. He's talking with the Pharisees and other Jews that have gathered around. All of these men, all of these women and children have heard all of their lives the prophecy of the Christ that is to come. They've understood the picture of Passover. They've celebrated every year, year in and year out. That's how they started their year, was with the Passover lamb. They closed one year with it and opened another year with it. The lamb would be slain. The blood would be poured out. They would participate in the eating of the body of the lamb. And the next year would be set up for them to be in a form of redemption with God. A form of covering because of this lamb taking on itself the sin of the household. And that type is real because Jesus in John 12 is expressing it this way. He's saying, of all people, you should know. Was it not in Exodus? Was it not Moses that heard from God, Moses and Aaron, where God told them very clearly, there is going to be a judgment that comes on all of Egypt. That judgment is going to be death. And when that angel comes, that angel of death comes, and this process is not done as correctly as I've given it to you, that angel, that judgment is not going to pass by your house. That judgment is going to come upon your house, and you're going to carry the full weight of that judgment. Isn't that what Exodus said? He said, let my people know that they must go out and they must find a lamb, and he must be without spot, he must be without blemish, and he must be brought into the house. He must be taken care of. And at the certain time, at the certain moment, he's going to be slaughtered. He's going to be killed. And I don't want you to waste the blood. I want it to be poured into a cup. And that cup you're going to take. And you're going to take the branches of a hyssop tree. You're going to dip it into that bowl. You're going to go outside. And you're going to mark the two doorposts of your home. That way, when judgment comes, When this angel of judgment comes upon your house, if he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And that's what they did. Every man, woman, and child, all within Egypt, that they were the Jewish people, they took these words to heart. They cared for this lamb. They checked this lamb. They looked to make sure that it was without spot or blemish. And if one household didn't have enough people in it, they brought them in with them. And they said, listen, let it not be unto you the judgment of God, but come into our house that it might pass over you as well. And they would put this blood out. And at night, that night, as the angel of death went about all of Egypt, judgment fell on every house that did not have the blood. That's Old Testament for you. But if you read in John chapter 12, Jesus is bringing up to them a remembrance. He's explaining to them, I have come in just like it was prophesied. I'm coming in just as the word has said, just as the prophets have said, as your chosen king, as your chosen Messiah. Cora said it most beautifully this morning. She said the Jewish people were looking for a conqueror to come in and deliver them from Rome. But Jesus really was there to deliver them from their own hearts. So they worshiped him on the way, and they believed he was going to overthrow the Roman government, but literally he was coming in to overthrow the world. He said the prince of darkness will be loose from its bondage on this world forevermore because of what's going to happen with me. They recognized him. That you could even say that the Jewish people chose him in that moment. Because on this day, the day that he rides in, where they say Hosanna, is the exact day that you choose the lamb without blemish. Everyone in Jerusalem at this point, this day, we're going out to find for them a lamb or a kid or a goat. That lambs are called kids, so not child sacrifice. Please don't take me there. Not that kind of church. We don't handle snakes either, so you're safe. But they chose for them a lamb that day. And while they're choosing for their household a lamb, here comes Jesus. And it's been noised through Jerusalem that Jesus, the son of Nazareth, he has raised a man from the dead in Bethany. This is just like the prophet said it would be. We've heard that this Jesus is riding in on a donkey's colt. This sounds like him. It sounds like the Messiah. Let's go see if it's true. And I don't know, maybe some of them were carrying their goats and a palm leaf in the same hand. But they begin to cry out in worship saying, save us if you are the Messiah. Save us. And they are taking their lambs without blemish. And this is the day they're bringing them into their homes. It's time now to begin to inspect it. It's time now to begin to cleanse their home of the leaven that's in there. And this is the start of the week of Passover. And none of them are realizing, and Jesus is telling them, he's saying, the Father is going to send a son. And they said, who is this son that will save us? He said, know this, that light has come into the world, that it might blot out darkness. And a few verses later, he says, I am the light. It's me. I am him. I am the spotless lamb. I am the redemptive nature that is going to make you one with the Father. That when judgment comes, he's going to see the blood, not any old blood, not lamb's blood, but the blood of the Son. Hallelujah. And they don't believe him. Listen, do you know what happens in the next week as Jesus is there? You know what Jesus does? He goes to his Father's house, the temple. I'm going off my notes here. But he goes to the temple. Anybody remember what he does when he gets into the temple? He braids him a whip, doesn't he? What does he do? He casts him out. He says, you serpents, get out of my Father's house. Do you know that's a part of the process for the Passover? Is that you must cleanse your house of all unleavened things. And so here's Jesus cleansing his Father's house. He said, let it be known that my Father's house will be a house of prayer. So he cleanses his Father's house. And in the days that are following after that, do you know what happens? He is preaching daily in the temple.
And every day he's there, the Pharisees are there. Guess who else is there? The chief priest is there. And you know what happens as he begins to teach? They begin to challenge Jesus, to see and catch him in a lie, to catch him in some false, blasphemous way. And you know what that really is signifying? They were inspecting Jesus to see if there be blemish in him. Do you know what the chief priest's job was? To inspect every sacrifice before he presented it to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He comes in on the day that lambs are being chosen, and whether they know it or not, they're choosing him. They're choosing him to be sacrificed. On the days that their houses must be cleansed out, Jesus is cleansing out the house of the Father. And the days following that, where they're supposed to be inspecting the lamb is living with them. They're turning it over. They're caring for it, making sure there's not one spot. There's not one blemish. The chief priest is in the temple questioning Jesus. And every day they're coming up with nothing because Jesus was perfect. He is perfect. He was catching them in every question. They couldn't catch him in anything. It's amazing. God has set this up for success. I'm going to send my son that he fulfill every necessary thing that anyone who accepts him might not face the judgment. The chief priests, I'm sorry, I'm spitting on myself. Don't let that distract you. They inspect him, find nothing, no blemish. No mark. Jesus says, what would you expect of the light, the Son of God? To ask the Father to relieve me of this bitter cup? You remember the garden? Gethsemane? The man asked the Lord, if you could deliver me of this cup, but not my will, yours be done. He's telling them, he's explaining to them every step of the process. And he said, this is the reason why I won't be having the cup taken away from me. It's because I am not the one who gives the commandment. My Father is. And anything he says to do, I do it. I'm just following the will of my Father. I'm revealing to you the heart of my Father. And they look him over and look him over. And finally, in the later days, they find one thing in him where he says, I am he. I am. And they said, you blasphemer, making yourself equal with God. The Romans, they didn't want nothing to do with this. They said, people are saying he's the king of the Jews. We're going to cause an uprising if we kill this man. The Romans didn't want anything to do with it. But you remember who said it? The chief priest gathered people against Jesus to false witness against him because they couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they gathered false witness against him. And they said, remember Pilate? It is my duty on this day due to tradition of the Jewish people to release one man that is charged to death. And he said, who do you want? And you know what they said? We want Barabbas. Do you know, I've not found it in Scripture, but I've read traditionally that there is what's called a scapegoat. So one lamb that you sacrifice and one that you let go. And that's where that tradition comes from. Where Pilate is expressing that. And so here he is standing, fulfilling another tradition to express to them that he is who he says that he is. And they said, we want Barabbas. And then Pilate goes, well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? Remember what the priests yelled out? Crucify him. Crucify him. We want him dead. Pilate washed his hands and he says, do what you will with him. I want no part with it. And they took Jesus away and they began to scourge him. They began to whip him. Me and Cora were talking about this the other day. He was unrecognizable as a human being. The cat of nine tails that they whipped him with ripped flesh from the bone. It would reach around the front side. Have anybody seen The Passion of the Christ in here? I heard it said once that that's not even an accurate depiction of how humiliated his body was. They literally ripped the beard from his face. They shoved a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. And they put him on a cross. Anybody know how many pieces of wood a cross has? Two, right? Got your long piece and then you've got your other cross piece, right? Does anybody know what the blood has to be applied to? The two pieces of wood? Are we seeing the parallel this morning? Does anybody remember while Jesus was on the cross, what kind of wood they offered up the wine and water to him? It was hyssop. The same type of branch that you had to dip the blood in to cover the doorpost. And the other two, the thieves that were there, it says that the Roman guards came around and they broke their legs. That's what happened. If you took too long to die, it's because you had to push yourself up on the cross in order to get a breath. They would break your legs if it took too long for you to die so that you wouldn't be able to push yourself up and you would asphyxiate on your own fluids. Folks, the crucifixion was the worst possible way you could kill somebody in that day and age. But you know what they did to Jesus? They didn't break his legs. Anybody remember what they did to him? They stabbed him with a spear. Just like Isaiah said, he will be pierced in his side for us. He is crucified and killed. And it was tradition that there was not allowed to be one piece of the lamb that was left overnight. But do you remember Simon of Cyrene? You remember what he came to Pilate and said? He said, "I beg of you, please, can I purchase his body? I want to buy his body off the cross." See, back then, they'd leave your body there for days and days and days to show and to put down rebellions and to put down crime in the area. But Simon came, "Would it be okay if I purchased his body? Because I need to take it down and I need to put it away in this tomb that I've prepared." Just like the Passover lamb, it could have nothing left overnight. Jesus' body was pulled down from the cross. It was dressed as tidily as it could be, and it was placed behind a stone. Just like the Passover lamb. Just like him. Every parallel is made on purpose by God, so that we might be witnesses of the all power in him. Not just to know everything that's in our future, but to know that he is mighty to save, that he is merciful to forgive, that he will have mercy on whom he has mercy, and he will have judgment on who he has judgment. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, "I will no longer let it be put on some other object to bring redemption to you." Because it wasn't bringing any type of redemption. It was no answer for sin. It was no answer for flesh. He said, "But I'm going to give you a lamb. I'm going to give you one that in the last time you'll ever have to do it, he is going to bleed for you. He's going to be pierced for you. And wherever I see his blood, I will know that judgment will pass over it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Passover lamb, folks. That's happening this week. That's what's being celebrated. He's been chosen. Our homes have been cleaned out. The temple is made new in Christ Jesus. His temple is a house of prayer. That's us. It's his dwelling place. His spirit lives here. People can try to find fault with us if they want to. Look for it if you will. But you're not going to find blemish in the blood. Amen? Oh, I know you from way back. I know what you used to do. I know what your sins are. No, you can look and see the blood, because the blood's all that matters. You can see me one way, but you're not the judge. Jesus said, I've not come in to bring judgment. My Father's job is to bring judgment. My job is to cover all that was wrong with you, that when He looks on you, He sees me. Every way that we were flawed, Jesus covered us. I was reading in Romans 10 this morning, and He said, all the ways that the law was righteousness, it's no longer righteousness. Jesus is now the model of righteousness. The law has lost its ability, per se. Not because it's weakened in any way, but because it was satisfied by the blood. It was fulfilled by the Lamb. It was fulfilled by Him. I want to read just this piece really quickly. I'm going to find it in a second. Matthew, I skipped all my notes just to preach. I know I said I wouldn't. The Lord's helping me. I'm telling you, I don't feel no gut issue at all right now. Matthew 27, 15 through 26. It says this, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many times today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said to him, let him be crucified. The same group that just said, Hosanna, is now saying, crucify him. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people then answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Folks, I'm telling you this, we're Barabbas. We're Barabbas. And God knew that he had to treat Jesus like Barabbas so that he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. That's the testimony of this Christ. That's the purpose of our salvation. For he bore on him all the sins of the world. On that cross, they were crucified and buried with him. Next week, come back, because we're going to be preaching on the resurrection. Amen? I want you to know that the word says in Exodus that you must eat of the lamb, and you must consume him all, every bit of him. Do you know that that's why we take communion? Do you know that that's why Jesus at the Last Supper, he said, take this bread, for it's my body. And he said, drink this blood, or drink this wine, it's my blood. It was the fulfillment of all that God had set in order for the cleansing of his people. It's the mark of the Christian. That's why we do it in remembrance of him, because we're remembering this great and powerful thing that God did through his son. I want to read just very quickly, just through the Passover and the requirements. God used every aspect of the Sabbath
to show that Jesus was and is the true Messiah, or the Passover, to show that Jesus was and is the true Messiah. He was chosen by the people on Palm Sunday, which is the choosing of the Passover lambs. He cleansed the temple, which is his Father's house, of all the money changers and unrighteous profit, at the same time that the people are cleansing their own homes of all leaven. He teaches in the temple and is examined by the chief priests, the same ones that are responsible for examining all temple sacrifices. He suffers and dies on the cross at the same time that the Passover lambs are being slaughtered at the temple. When Jesus breathed his last breath, that was the same moment that the Passover lamb was to be slaughtered. This isn't coincidence, folks. And it's all in our Bibles. He suffered and died on the cross at the same time that the Passover lambs were being slaughtered at the temple. And listen to this. This is for next weekend. And due to this festival, the Passover, when this was all over, the Jewish people traditionally, the next week, offered up a first fruits sacrifice. Jesus rose again on the third day, the firstborn of the dead. God presented him the sacrificial lamb and then raised him up, the first fruits of many to come. Us. Us. The blood has made us new, and his life lives in us. And we live this life as an offering to him, the first fruits offering. Isn't that amazing? See, there's a thousand other things I can say about this, but I feel it's time. Would you stand with me? We have a lot to worship God over. Maybe this isn't as interesting to you as it is to me, but I believe it is. I'm just saying maybe you're not as geeked out about it as I am. But I look on the fullness of what God has presented to us as his people, and I just think, what love is this? I look back at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I just ask us today, church, has the blood been applied? Has it been applied to you in your life? Is it on the doorposts of your heart? Judgment is destined to come. It's coming. And when judgment comes, is it going to find the blood of Jesus at the door? Folks, whoever didn't have the blood applied to their door, they suffered the judgment. It was death. The glory of Jesus is that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. But those that don't have it applied in their life, folks, it's death. It's grave death, torment, and death. And so I encourage us, as we're going through this week, that you apply the blood to your life, that you celebrate with us, and you participate in Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I want your body. I want your blood. I want the judge to look at my life one day and say, I can find no spot or blemish. It's only through the blood. It's not our works. You can't be good enough. You're not. It's only the blood. If there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord, I encourage you to come meet with one of us. I won't pray for you today with my stomach being the way it is, but there are plenty of people here. Unless you have faith, we'll just pray in faith. But if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, I wouldn't wait one more day. Because just like the Lord had promised that he would send his son and he would redeem the world, he also promised that his son would come back. And he would take his church ransom. And folks, it could be today. It could be today. So let's not wait. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to rejoice and to worship. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Father, we just come to you today and we worship you. Because before the foundations of the earth, you knew us and you knew the cost
that it would take to save us. Thank you, God, that you didn't dwindle it down to one culture or one nation or one people group. But when you sent your son, he was put upon that tree. And his blood was shed for all that believed on the name of Jesus. Every class of sinner could have their sin crucified through that cross. Every class of person could come and rejoice in the resurrection life that you provided. And so today, God, we rejoice in that. Father, what a week to celebrate, Lord God, to honor, Lord, and to worship, Lord, this amazing sacrifice that you did. The accomplishment of God. It's beyond even wonder and awe. We are just at awe, God, at what you've done. But even more than that, we're grateful this morning. For those that have the blood, we know the price. We know the cost. And we're grateful, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that nothing was wasted in your sacrifice. Thank you for choosing the cross for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. Please pray continuously for those that we prayed for at the beginning of service. Pray for me as well through this week. Invite somebody next Sunday, amen, whether it be the sunrise service or Easter service. Amen. You gonna shake my hand even though I'm not feeling well?